Hello, everybody. Today, we continue on in the book of Joel. Today's passage is chapter 1, verses 13 to 20. Put on sackcloth and lament, O priests. Wail, O ministers of the altar. Go in, pass the night in sackcloth, O ministers of my God, because grain offering and drink offering are withheld from the house of your God. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and all the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Alas for the day of the Lord is near, and as destruction from the Almighty it comes. Is not the food cut off before our eyes, joy and gladness from the house of our God? The seed shrivels under the clods, the storehouses are desolate. The granaries are torn down because the grain has dried up. How the beast groans! The herds of cattle are perplexed because there is no pasture for them. Even the flocks of sheep suffer. To you, O Lord, I call, for fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and flame has burned all the trees of the field. Even the beasts of the field pant for you, because the water brooks are dried up and fire has devoured the pastures of the wilderness. Amen. In yesterday's passage, Joel described the current state of affairs as a swarm of locusts devastated the nation, and today we see the continuation of that. Joel says that the day of the Lord is at hand. The day of the Lord, in its ultimate sense, refers to when God will bring his judgment upon earth, and when Jesus will return in his glory. But here we see that the day of the Lord is at hand. This is referring to the point in time when Judah is experiencing the judgment of God with these swarms and swarms of locusts. Here, Joel continues to share the echoing consequences of their sin. Not only did they lose their harvest, but there are wildfires that devoured the pastures of the wilderness, and a severe drought came upon the land. Even the animals were crying out. It's important to not overlook the devastating consequences that sin brings. It is not something that just privately affects our lives, but it reverberates throughout our communities and onto society. Yesterday, we saw Joel encouraging the people to lament, describing the kind of grief that a young widow has. Today, we see in verse 13, Joel directing the priests and ministers to put on their sackcloth and lament. He gives them steps on the hows of lamenting. Ultimately, this process of lamenting is paving the way for the people of God to come to repentance. Lamentation is not the end goal in and of itself. But here we will see what Joel has to say about repenting in the next chapter. But for now, we have these guided steps that can help us come to that place. Joel highlights three ways: fasting, assembling, and crying out. Number one, Joel says to consecrate a fast. Many times we see the pairing of fasting and repentance coupled together in the Old Testament. Fasting was a way to prioritize getting right with God, hearing and calling out to Him, acknowledging that He is the most important. Number two, Joel says to call for a sacred assembly of the elders and all of the inhabitants of the land. There is a communal aspect of lamenting and repenting. In this context, it is not something meant to be done individually or in private, but in community. This is so profound as it means that each and every individual is acknowledging that their world and society, as is ruined without God. Number three, Joel says to come into the house of the Lord and to cry out to Him. Crying out. Again, there is this communal aspect. Yesterday I talked about how instead of Joel encouraging the people to push through, hang on tight, or to keep their head up, he actually made space. He knew the importance of crying out to God with sincerity, honesty, and trust that God would respond in His character and in His likeness. It's important to note the beauty of God's mercy. In the Old Testament, people had to bring all sorts of sacrifices and offerings before God. Yet, here we see that due to the loss of harvest, they were not able to bring any. There are no grain or wine offerings to bring. Yet, we see God accepting and making a way for the people of God to return to Him by fasting, assembling together in community, and crying out to Him. Now let's try to apply this to our own lives. Here are some questions to help get us started. Personally, is there anything in my personal life that I need to confess and repent of today? Have I been able to lament the consequences of my sin? What are the things that I am prioritizing right now more than getting right with God? Am I sharing with brothers and sisters, or am I hesitant to walk through life with them? What are some things that are hindering me from crying out to God? Hopefully, at least one of these questions resonated with you to help get you started. Now let's think of the bigger scale. Is there anything in our nation that we as a church and people of God need to confess and repent of? How do we come together in sacred assembly? Every Lenten season, we do a communal fast together as a church, but perhaps we can reach out to our microchurch or campus groups to intentionally fast and gather together. Maybe it looks like committing to coming out to every single Monday night prayer this summer to pray and repent and intercede with the rest of the church body. I want to just encourage all of us to reflect and to, ask the Holy Spirit to give us an action step today. Let's pray. God, we come before you as we acknowledge your mercy for us. We pray that you would expose the sins in our lives, both individually in our personal lives and our communal sins. May you expose these sins that need to be brought out into the light. Help us, O God, to not brush these things under the rug, but we want to confess them and lay them down at your feet. We confess, God, that it's so easy to hide. But Holy Spirit, we ask that you help us to walk in the light with our fellow brothers and sisters. Help bring us a spirit of vulnerability and safety to our microchurches and our campus small groups. Help us to come before you as we corporately behold who you are. May you give us a space and opportunities to lament and repent together in community. And we thank you that you receive us, God. You receive us. And we thank you that we can receive the fullness of forgiveness and redemption that you have for us. As we remember you, we proclaim that we may be able to live out today knowing that we are a people standing redeemed, undeserving, yet fulfilled with the love and purpose you have for us. We thank you, God. We love you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.